Soda Pictures, Edesis, S4C and BBC Films present a Craig Roberts film. In association with Film Cymru Wales and the BFI, funded by the National Lottery. In a classroom, teenage girls and boys run riot. Jim sits motionless, alone, staring forlornly at the chaos around him. A man in tennis shorts and a tracksuit top saunters into the room and puts a whistle to his mouth.
Who here can win this country run? You.
He points to a timid, bespectacled boy.
No.
Jim puts up his hand.
John?
Yeah, I can.
I can what?
Win the run.
Later, under a blue sky, boys in white vests and shorts run across fields. Jim lets the timid, bespectacled pupil pass him, then stops, breathless. A caption reads, "Just Jim." Jim sits alone in a classroom. From his lunchbox, he pulls out a cellophane-wrapped sandwich. He methodically tears off the crusts from the limp, white bread. Then, hunched over his lunchbox, he starts to eat. Later, on the school bus, Jim sits alone, earphones in. Michael gets on and acknowledges the gang sitting at the back with a friendly nod. Jim moves his bag from the seat next to him, but Michael walks on by. Then Jackie gets on. She has pink dyed hair and a cigarette dangling between her lips. She walks straight past Jim to the back. As Jim tentatively peers around his seat, the gang at the back give him the finger. The timid, bespectacled boy smiles at Jim, who looks away. Later, three girls hang out on a street corner smoking. Jackie tries to light her cigarette, then she spots Jim and whistles. Jim stops in his tracks, then crosses over. Jackie is absorbed in a computer game.
Will you go later?
No.
Are you Roger's brother?
No.
Are you Roger?
No, I'm Jim.
Jim rushes into the corner shop. He races back, but the girls have vanished. He strikes the new lighter, but the flame fails to ignite. Later, Jim approaches his garden gate. He goes to open it, and it collapses. He steps over it and leans it back against the gatepost. The interior decor of the family home is a mixture of swirling 70s wallpaper, wooden sideboards, and faux leather sofas. His father lies flat out on the sofa, snoozing. Outside, his mother is asleep on a sun lounger. Jim waves a hand in front of her face, but gets no response. Jim goes up to his bedroom.
No, new messages.
He sits on the bed and undoes the laces on his baseball boots. He lies down on his bed and closes his eyes. His bedroom walls have been half stripped, exposing the plaster. Later, Jim, his parents and sister Michelle sit in the back garden sipping champagne.
I couldn't be prouder. The first family member to go to university. Eye contact, I would say ears are bad sex.
That's impossible, I'm afraid.
You're not getting it, not until you sort the front garden.
Great, now I know when you'll be having it.
He's so miserable, I think he's sick.
Fuck you.
Jim drops the lighter.
Is that yours?
His eyes dart nervously from one to the other.
It's Jackie's.
A little Jackie Taylor?
She smokes.
Why do you have it?
Because, Michelle, we're together.
He nods earnestly. Michelle and her mother exchange a smirk.
Double celebration, then.
Yeah, I guess it is. Where's the glasses? I think you better pour me one of those champagnes.
He's lying. I saw her hanging out with Michael.
No, you didn't. She's wrong. Michelle. Michelle's a weird fucking name anyway.
Jim.
Jim exits the house, leading his dog, Cliff. He makes his way down the garden path. He passes through the gateway and notices a wooden for sale sign swinging in the breeze next door. In the afternoon sun, he cuts a tiny figure walking across a wide expanse of grassland. In a makeshift den, deep in the woods, Jim sits cross-legged, Cliff the dog to one side, cans of beer to the other. Later, they cross a viaduct. Donald, a stocky, ginger-haired man with a grey lurcher, greets them. Jim stands in front of Donald and the dogs sniff each other.
Boring, isn't it?
Jim nods, pensively.
Off on my long walk again. Go on my walk 3 times a week now. Keeps me busy. Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursday.
Today's Saturday.
Yeah, copy that, Clive.
He pretends to speak into a communications device.
Reminds me of being in the army up here. I was a parachuter, yeah? I could parachute off this.
Donald points over the sides of the viaduct.
Or I could jump without the parachute. Yeah, copy that, Clive.
Later at home, Jim and his dog are absorbed in a racing set, watching the cars spinning. Next day, Leon ambushes Jim on his way into class. Jim sees numerous obscenities scrawled on the whiteboard. He starts wiping the board with his sleeve when the headmaster enters. Jim freezes. Later, Jim sits, head bowed, opposite the stern-faced headmaster in his office.
We've got to win this country run. Things are just shit.
Both he and Jim look down, avoiding eye contact.
My life is one big pile of shit.
Later that night, Jim is the only patron at a cinema. The usherette enters.
Tonight's screening of The Piper's Revenge, starring Hayden Hayden and Johnny Wool.
Wood.
Will run at 92 minutes. Enjoy.
In the black and white film, a rat scurries across the screen. It runs past a man lying on the ground. The camera pulls back to reveal he's dead. On On screen, another man draws near, drops a cigarette, and walks into the haze-filled distance. The film title reads, The Piper's Revenge. Samuel Mathers, a private investigator, sits in his dusty office.
We've lost the Piper.
What do you mean you lost him?
He escaped last night, boss. No evidence of him getting out. It's like he disappeared.
We better find him.
Boys reckon he's headed back to Pennsylvania. Don't worry, boss. I've got this.
No way, it's too dangerous. We need to send somebody desperate. Sammy! You're rehired. Welcome back. We got a job for you.
It's a year today since he massacred those innocent children. Authorities are warning people to stay inside. The Piper is said to be mid-20s and look just like one of us.
In dazzling sunshine, Jim's mother and sister are lying on loungers in their swimming costumes. Jim's father, meanwhile, brushes down a lawnmower. In his murky room, Jim and his dog sit staring blankly out of the window. On Jim's computer game, a rat runs along a wall, avoiding stretches of water. The rat falls and drowns. The words "game over" flash on screen. The high scores list shows Michael and Jim at the top. Jim opts for a new game. Next morning, Jim covers his head with a pillow to cut out the noise of the mower. On the way out, he unplugs the mower's lead. His puzzled father shakes the mower as Jim saunters nonchalantly past with his dog. He pauses at the gate and notices that the for sale sign has gone. Later that evening, as Jim marches up the hill with his dog, he meets Michael coming down.
All right. Hey, Cliff.
Both boys glance around nervously.
What have you been up to?
Just thinking, man.
Listen, Jim, I hope you don't mind, but I think me and Jackie are dating.
No. Well, why would I mind? It's fine.
I don't know, I always thought you liked her.
No, you've got that wrong. I'm into older chicks now.
Oh, nice. Also, could I have my Nintendo back?
No. My mum checked it out.
Why?
Cliff!
Cliff bolts at the noise of Leon's horn.
Get in!
Michael gets in the car.
He's too fast, will you help me find him?
Sorry, man, I have to go.
See you later, shit dick!
Late into the night, Jim searches for Cliff.
Cliff! Cliff!
Cliff's dog basket sits empty on Jim's messy bedroom floor. Jim stretches out on his bed, brooding, nursing a can of lager. Later, he leaves the house, clutching a pile of papers. He sticks others up along a line of telegraph poles. Next day, on the school bus, a piece of paper is passed down the aisle until it reaches Jim. He unfolds it to reveal his poster of Cliff, defiled by a hand-drawn cartoon of a penis. Leon thrusts his head over the seat next to Jim. Later, Jim walks along the viaduct. Halfway along, he steps up onto the ledge and peers over. He sits alone in his woodland den, his head bowed. With stooped shoulders, Jim walks slowly up his garden path. He stops halfway, wraps his arms around himself, and sobs. Later, Jim stands at his bedroom window watching his parents seeing Michelle off to university.
Look after yourself, won't you?
I love you so much.
Jim sits on the edge of his bed, listening to his mother's sobs. He then positions himself to do press-ups. After the fourth, he slumps to the floor. Jim slips on a baggy t-shirt, turns off the light before clambering out of the window and dropping to the ground. He comes through the back door into the sitting room where his parents snooze on the sofa. His shadow fills the gap between them. Jim's father opens his eyes.
Do you guys have any friends?
Yeah, your mum has a few. Why?
I don't know. You just...
Jim, you need to try and make the effort to hang out with the other kids.
Next day, Leon holds court in the playground.
So I put him in a headlock and fed him a whole loaf of bread.
Jim pauses before approaching Leon and his cronies.
Hi. I'm having a birthday party and I wanted to invite you guys.
Leon stares open-mouthed as Jim hands out invitations. Later, with a face covered in shaving cream, Jim leans against the bathroom wall and marks his height with a pen. He examines the mark and shakes his head. That evening, in the local hall festooned with party decorations.
Ta-da!
Ooh.
What do you think, darling? Do you like the cake? Huh? Let's have a look at you. Now, are you sure you're going to be okay?
Yeah, I'm going to be fine. 16.
He stares incredulously at the banner.
I'm 17.
Are you?
Yeah.
Jim's mother shoots her husband a look.
It's gonna have to do. You need to leave. They're gonna be here. Leave. Leave.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
Please leave.
Okay. Okay. Bye, darling.
No.
He waves his parents away and sits down under a banner which reads, "Happy 16th birthday, Jimbo." He moves towards a table laden with food and decorated with balloons. He helps himself to some snacks. He returns to his seat with a paper plate of food. He stares blankly at the floor when the banner suddenly collapses onto his head. Then the fluorescent lighting flickers and dies. Back home, Jim opens the door on his parents, canoodling by candlelight. His mum sits upright, and Jim slots himself between them.
Yeah. It went well. Can I have a glass?
His father steps over their feet to get out. Jim and his mother avoid eye contact as his father returns. He hands his son a glass of wine. Jim blows out the candle, plunging them into darkness. Later, Jim squats on his bedroom floor, fidgeting with his lighter. Weak yellow streetlight filters into the room. Next evening at the cinema, Jim sits in his usual center aisle seat, the only member of the audience. On screen, the private detective sifts through some documents. The detective shakes his head and blinks, trying to ward off fatigue. His chin drops to his chest as an assassin parts his way through thick mist and slits a man's throat. The detective wakes with a start.
Who's there?
A rat scuttles across the stage in Jim's line of vision. The house lights come on as Jim makes his way to the exit. He pauses when he sees Beatrice, the usherette, lurking in the shadows.
Quiet tonight.
Shh.
Yes. Is it? Do you have any new movies? I've seen this one loads.
Beatrice stares ahead, deadpan and impassive.
You know, it's probably the rats.
What is?
The lack of customers.
They're listening.
Who?
The people in the walls. They're listening. They don't know that I know, but I do. I know they're coming for us. Trust no one. Stay away from tap water. Leave now. Don't come back.
Jim eyes her suspiciously as he leaves. She slinks back into the darkness. In his bedroom, Jim strikes the lighter, initiating hallucinatory scenes of him floating deep underwater. He has another vision of Michael kissing Jackie, then a vision of his classmates holding him spread-eagled by his arms and legs. Later, he notices a sleek, red convertible sports car parked on next door's drive. That evening, Jim eats supper with his parents.
How's school?
Great. I won the school race.
His parents freeze.
How's Michelle?
No word.
She may be dead. It's probably best we move on.
Where did Michael come?
Why?
I saw his mum today. So I invited him around for supper.
Without asking me. Maybe I don't want him around too.
Why not?
Just then, a silhouette appears at the glass front door. Jim's mother stands up from the table to answer the door.
Hi, Michael.
Hiya.
Long time no see.
Yeah, hello.
Come on in.
I can't, sorry. I just came to say thanks for inviting me around, but I've made plans.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, Jim's here. Jim, why don't we save your supper and you can warm it up when you get back later?
Later that night, Jim sits squashed in the back seat of Leon's car between Jackie and Michael. Leon lights a joint, takes a drag and offers it to a friend in the front who declines. Leon hands the joint to Michael. He smokes it, then passes it to Jim. Jim smokes it and passes it to Jackie. Jim gazes at Jackie. In his stoned fantasy, she turns to him and smiles.
You made me so wet.
Jim grins, wide-eyed. Back to reality, all eyes are on Jim. He snaps out of his fantasy.
About the second, Jimbo?
Sure.
Jim gets out, wanders across the deserted street, and stands looking at Leon. Jim watches the car recede into the night and resignedly turns and sets off for home.
to torment me when your heart must know how I love you so. Tell me why do you make me cry, Domino?
He kicks the front gate down in frustration. He tries the front door, but it's locked, so he goes around the side of the house.
Hey.
A young man in his 20s sits in the garden, dressed in jeans and a leather jacket, his hair slicked back, James Dean style.
I'm Dean, your new neighbor. You American? That's right. You look scared.
I am scared. I'm high. I can't feel my fingers.
Well, the key is to just ride it out. Why don't you try laughing? Laugh with me. Okay, here, come on, laugh.
Dean bears a set of perfect white teeth. Then the smile suddenly disappears.
You want a beer?
No. Are you a pervert?
No, are you?
No, obviously. Just don't come near me, okay? Because that would be a mistake.
Would it?
Yeah. My family are trained killers.
Sounds fair enough.
And we have guns.
Do you?
No. But I know people. I could get one. I could get a gun.
Okay. So what do you do around here for fun?
Play my computer games and stuff.
What kind of stuff?
Mainly just play my computer games. I mean, I used to go to the cinema a lot as well, but a band. I used to have a dog, but he ran away.
No shit. You know, I had a dog that ran away, too.
Yeah, well, they ran away to die. What are you doing here?
Well, you know, I had to get away. I felt like life was passing me by, and there was nothing I could do to stop it.
Yeah, life sucks.
Well, it depends what you make of it. You know, if you sit around feeling sorry for yourself, yeah. Do you believe in God?
No. Hmm. I think if he exists, sick, he needs to give me a break.
Maybe you just need to man up a bit. Stop being a little bitch.
Jim stares at Dean, who closes his eyes, oblivious. Next morning, on the playing fields, the headmaster gives Jim's class a pep talk.
Follow the track through the fields, down past the river, and then back to the finishing line. Any questions?
Are you a pussy?
No, sir.
Are you?
No, sir.
Jack.
Yes, sir, I don't have my gym kit.
On three, everyone say that Jack is a pussy. One, two, three.
Jack's a pussy!
Jim runs at the back of the line when he is ambushed by Leon.
Hey! What's happening, shitpants? Stop where you are!
Jim cowers on the riverbank.
Take a bath, you smelly fuck!
Under the glistening water, Jim floats calmly. In a vision, he watches in wonderment as Jackie swims into view. Her subtitle reads, "I found you." His subtitle reads, "I'm down here by choice." Jackie, "You're not Roger." Jim, "I know. I don't know who this Roger is." Jackie comes closer. Her subtitle reads, "Grow some balls and ask me, Jim." Jim, "Ask you what?" Jackie, "On a date. You could take me to the movies." Jim, "I've told you, sugar tits, I'm nothing but trouble." Jackie, "Win the race and I'll fuck you." Jim smiles inanely. Jackie's last subtitle reads, "Don't be a pussy." She rises up through the water while Jim stays under and grooves. Later, Jim stands idly throwing a football against the low stone wall. Dean's car hits the ball and stops.
Every time I see you, you look depressed.
I am depressed.
Come on, let's get the fuck out of here.
Jim jumps in and they head to the local shop.
I stole from here once.
Really? What'd you steal?
Just a knife.
That's pretty fucked up.
Jackie and friends enter, and Jim hides behind Dean.
Seriously? Girls? Well, you don't want to die nameless, do you?
No.
No. Okay, see, the key is to be mysterious, but also open.
Jim furrows his brow, then gingerly approaches the girls.
Hey, girls.
Jim looks to Dean for guidance.
Seen you here a few times before. What are you doing here this time?
Buying food.
Dean raises an eyebrow.
Buying food, yeah. My name's Jim. I'm a male. I'm legal. I'm legal age. And,
what the fuck are you doing?
I had a dog once. But he's dead, and I'm up for most things. I'm mysterious, but I'm open.
That night, in Dean's car.
I've been thinking about your problem.
I don't have a problem.
It's right, you don't. You're just surrounded by friends. I can help you. I can put an end to this shit.
How?
By making you cool.
It's not gonna work. I'm already uncool. You can't erase that existing image.
Yeah, we don't. We change it.
At the piercing parlor.
Is this really necessary?
Yes, it is. Shoot him. Wait a minute. Bryce has a gay side. Shoot him in the other.
No, wait!
Later, Dean and Jim do press-ups while smoking a joint.
So girls like Julie like tough guys, right?
Jackie.
Okay, whatever. So what you gotta do is you gotta be able to step up and show her that you're willing to break somebody's dick. You got that? Let's say I'm a bully and I say something to you bad. Really bad. What do you say?
I'd probably say don't say that.
Okay. We should say that
I pushed you.
What do you say?
I say fuck up.
Fuck up.
I mean to say shut the fuck.
Okay, well don't say that. That doesn't make any sense. What you do is you push that fucker back. Harder. Don't ever take any shit from anyone. Never, okay?
A brief daytime scene with Dean punching Leon from behind.
Harder.
Dean and Jim push each other.
Get! Get some snap into it. Yeah.
The night continues with raucous boozing, smoking, and press-ups. Next day in the shop.
Don't act suspicious. Fucking run.
Dean thrusts a bottle into Jim's hands. He steals himself, then runs out. Later, they sit on the viaduct, smoking and drinking.
To your new balls. Cheers.
Cheers.
Jim looks at his new tattoo.
Now, this doesn't feel so good. It looks infected.
It is infected, but it's badass. The four dots are the walls, and that's you in the middle. People are gonna think you've done serious time.
They will?
Yeah.
What about these are acceptable? These are in?
Yeah, dude, really in.
You just don't have yours pierced.
Yeah. I've decided I'm gonna help you win this race, because you're not capable. You have the coordination of a cripple.
I'm ready.
I don't think you are, but I like your confidence.
What about my face?
What about it?
I think it's very round. It's all good saying be confident, but you have a very structured face to back it up.
There's nothing we can do about your face. You're a solid 4. You're actually a 3, okay? But I'm not gonna fucking lie to you. If you were to stay yourself with that face, you'd be fucked. When you talk to people now, you look like you're taking a shit.
You're right, I do. I'm not ready. I don't want to do this anymore. I want out. I'm just me. I'm still me, you know? I'm not me enough. I've just got an infected tattoo and my ears pierced.
Hey, stop being a bitch.
The smoking headmaster walks along a starting line of runners. He squats down next to his team.
All right, guys, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for. Now I'm done with speeches, how does this sound? You win, or I'm gone.
Jim hurriedly joins the line.
Whose school are you with?
Yours. We're in the same school.
Everything all right?
Yeah. Good luck.
Fuck you, bug eyes.
Later in the race, Jim and Dean hide by a riverbank.
This is going really badly.
Dean wears a stocking over his head and is armed.
Turn around, you little fuckers!
The rest of the runners flee while Jim scrambles up the bank and runs on. At the finishing line, the headmaster holds out his arms to welcome Jim.
Bloody hell, son, you're miles ahead of everyone. Where are they?
I'm on.
The headmaster holds aloft the trophy.
There's no way you're a far good one. It was a fix.
Hey, you shut up. He's a winner.
Dad, the man chased us with a gun.
Don't be so childish and don't be a sore loser, Leon.
Aye.
Dad, it's a fucking piss take.
Just won the race.
Jackie glances up from her computer game.
Can I ask you on a date?
Maybe. Pick me up by the grip bends.
She walks off. Later, in Jim's garden.
Ma'am? Dad? This is my new friend, Dean.
Hello.
Jim's parents stare, transfixed.
I had some pretty crazy times back then.
Sounds like it.
Sounds great.
But what about you guys? You guys must have messed around, experimented, right? Bet you went wild as wolves.
Not so much.
I did a lot of drugs in my early 20s. So much so, I ended up in a pretty sticky situation with two guys.
Dean, his gaze fixed on her, smiles. She looks worriedly at Jim's father, who's studying the ground.
Here's to Jim, being the fastest kid in the county.
We couldn't be prouder.
Speech. I won. End of speech.
So, Dean, where are you from?
Pennsylvania.
And what brings you here?
The truth? I'm on the run. I'm guilty of murder.
Jim's parents stare at him in horror.
No, I just wanted to come to a place where the people look miserable, but sound happy.
Well. And your family? Are they still in the States?
Well, I was dealt a bad hand when I was young. They're dead.
Jim's mum tilts her head sympathetically.
This bread is fucking great. Did you make this yourself?
No.
Still, good pick. So how about you guys? What do you do? What's your story? Let me guess. Model?
Close. Nurse.
I was a golfer, semi-professionally.
Were you?
Yeah, we used to play a lot when you were a kid.
I don't remember. We should grab a game.
Yeah, I'm in.
Hey. To my new neighbors and friends.
Cheers.
Cheers.
They all raise their glasses of sparkling wine. Then the parents dance.
There's a big wine world keeps treating you bad.
Dean dances with Jim's mum.
And God's coincidence drives you mad. Well, little by little and bit by bit. Better use what you got, cause this is it. Remember life, it ain't no competition.
Jim's mum smiles blissfully as his dad looks on, doing a badly coordinated shuffle.
It ain't but a mess of hard time, religion and tradition. And any way you do, any way you don't, everywhere you go. Remember life, it ain't no competition.
Next morning, Jim's dad in his dressing gown watches Dean at the gate.
Everything okay?
Right as rain. Noticed your gate was hanging off, so I figured I'd fix that fucker.
Later, Dean meets Michael.
Hey, buddy. Michael, right?
Yeah.
All right, listen, Dickweed, I need you to do something for me. Stay away from Jackie.
She's my girlfriend.
Wrong! Do you want me to shit down your neck? Because I will.
All right, my buddy Jim likes her now, so you're gonna stay away. If you don't, I'll kill your mother while I'm fucking her, and then I'm gonna come back, chop your dad's dick off, and feed it to him. And if you still don't do something, I'm gonna come back and fucking thump my car, and your fucking body's gonna fly over the fucking hood. And I'm gonna take a knife, and I'm gonna shove it up your fucking ass, and I'm gonna cut you up your fucking back, open up your fucking ribs, take your fucking brain, and fucking stomp on it! You got that?
Michael nods.
Okay. Good talk.
Later, Jim smokes and dances in his bedroom. Next to two condom packets, a note reads, "Have fun, Mum and Dad." He dabs aftershave on his neck before pulling on a smart jacket.
Hey, sexy pants.
Women are weapons. Their sexiness is an asset they will use against you. You have to rely on charm. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything.
Got it.
Did you sleep last night? You have terrible bags under the eyes.
Oh, no, they're born that way.
Oh, that's a shame. You look malnourished. How much aftershave did you put on? You smell like shit.
Really?
Shave down there?
You didn't tell me to.
All right, if there's a kiss, you stick your tongue down her throat, show you're the man. All right, she's playing with her hair. You go for a boob grab, squeeze tight. Skip all oral. It's too complicated. Show her the tat and it's a done deal. Good luck. Don't be yourself.
Jim nods.
Don't smile. Be cool. Come on, show me a cool face. Show me the fucking icebox.
Jim adopts a hard stare, and Dean hands him the car keys.
I am cool.
Jim fails to light his cigarette. Jim pulls up in the sports car in front of Jackie. He gets out to let her in, but does an about turn as she opens her own door. He lands awkwardly as he attempts to jump over the door into the car.
Hi.
Hi.
Jackie grins as he tries to act nonchalant and light a joint. He takes a drag and offers the joint to Jackie.
No thanks.
You sure?
Yeah.
Later, they sit down at a reserved restaurant table. A waitress hands them each a menu.
Excuse me. Would it be possible to change my seat?
No. What drink you want?
Two beers, gorgeous.
Is it your ID?
My ID?
Yeah.
From his low seat, he stares at Jackie and the waitress before studying the menu again.
Actually, I'll have a water, please.
You? Can I have a beer? Sure.
Nice.
Jim stuffs a napkin in his collar. Jackie eats slowly, glancing repeatedly up at him from her plate.
How is it?
It's good.
She continues to eat slowly and methodically, watched intently by Jim. At Jackie's house, they hesitate at the foot of the stairs.
We have to try and be quiet.
Jim's gaze follows the dark staircase up to the bedrooms. He gulps, his face set tight with tension. In her bedroom, Jackie stands by the open window and lights a joint. Jim sits on the edge of her bed, sipping from a mug. Jim stands by her, and they pass the joint to and fro. She moves to the bed. Jim wafts the smoke out of the window and puts down the joint. As he closes the window, Jackie inclines her head in invitation, and he cautiously joins her.
I've never kissed anyone before, so it's probably not going to be up to standards.
She leans forward and kisses him. His hand darts immediately to her breast.
Would you like that?
Not really.
He swiftly removes his hand, and she kisses him again. They then sit side by side playing a computer game. Later, in the car.
I constantly wake up and I can't move my body and I feel like something's holding me down. I get like that all the time.
I have a scary dream. I'm in a plane and a pilot comes up to me and says we're about to crash. I don't know what he tells me, but anyway, we start falling. We're jumping into the water, and then I remember that like hitting water really hard. It's like hitting concrete, so we're gonna die anyway. And I get this idea to take my shoes off, and I chuck them into the water, and it causes a splash for me to dive into, and I survive.
Smart.
Wonder what it means, though.
Probably doesn't mean anything.
In a fantasy underwater scene, they swim together.
Wait, what do you want to do when you're older?
I want to do something significant, and then die at an early age.
Next day, Jim's dad and Dean play golf.
Ah, it's been a long time. Don't expect anything extraordinary. Not to start with, anyway.
Jim's dad accepts a proffered cigarette.
God, golf is good. Just need to get rid of this belly fat, that's all. Now, if I was to give you one piece of advice, it would be don't let your wife become your best friend because you lose all other friends.
Mm.
I mean, you know, I'm not unhappy or anything. I'm just saying, no friends. How's Jimbo doing?
Honestly, not so good. Do you find he lies a lot?
Yeah, I guess.
Anyways, I'm sure it's nothing, but what do you say that you let me take you and the beautiful lady out to dinner tonight?
Oh, that'd be lovely. Thank you. Yeah. So glad he's got a nice friend.
Sure.
I've been really, really worried about him.
Jim suddenly appears.
You smoking?
No. Don't tell your mother. I'll get the balls.
How'd it go?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, the boob grab wasn't a highlight, but overall good.
You do what I told you? All the way, right?
Most of the way, yeah. We ended up playing computer games, which is pretty cool.
Dean stares malevolently at Jim, his jaw set hard.
You ready for the party tonight?
What party?
The one you're throwing.
What about my parents?
It's all planned, okay? A small gathering. I'm gonna take your parents out around 7. We'll get them high and drunk until the early hours. I may have to fuck your mom if there's a dip.
Thanks so much.
That night, Dean escorts Jim's mom down the garden path. She's dressed in her finery. Jim and his dad follow behind. Jim stops at the gate.
Are you sure you don't want to come?
No, I've got the shits.
Bye.
Bye.
Jim's hairstyle now mimics Dean's, slicked back, 50s style. He's wearing a white t-shirt and a red bomber jacket.
Holy shit.
The party is in full swing at Jim's house. The exterior and interior are adorned with pulsating, multicolored lights. Kissing couples line the side wall of the house. Jim enters the garden and grins broadly.
What are we, where's Jack? My name's Jim. Get him out. Only King's skins, papers, please, pass the rocks.
Bit of weed might work, a bit of weed. Jim kneels by a bar and a boy pours beer into his mouth from a hose. Jim leaps up and chest bumps the boy. Jim opens a door to a shed and finds his occupant enveloped in dope smoke. Partygoers smile and toast Jim as he passes. In the kitchen, one boy bundles another into the fridge. Jim kisses a girl in passing and accepts a shot drink from another. Jim then heads upstairs. A sickly lime green light washes over the walls of his bedroom. Jim is scowling, glaring at a guy in his bed with two masked girls. Jim's subtitle reads, "What are you doing here?"
Sorry we had to leave early.
Absolutely. Oh, must be a bug going on or something.
Yeah.
Back in Jim's bedroom, a subtitle under the threesome reads, "You're about to hit concrete. Remove your shoes." Then another partygoer interrupts. Jackie and friends are at the front door.
Hey. Why are you telling people we shagged?
I'm not.
I kissed you because I felt sorry for you.
Yeah.
Just fuck off and leave me alone.
You're fucking dead, son! There's no way you won our race!
Michael marches up to Jim and pushes him.
What are you doing?
I'll fight you for it. You're a fucking prick.
Yeah, boy, you're dead. I'm not gonna fight you for it, she likes me now.
She likes you because I wouldn't let her see you, Jim. Your friend said he'd shit down my neck.
It's fucked up shit. Do it, Mike. Fuck him up.
Why would you do this to me?
Do what?
Well, you know what, you're a dick.
Don't fucking push me.
You're fucking weird. Leon's right, you're a freak. I'm glad I'm not your friend anymore.
Okay, well, wherever.
Michael slaps him, and Jim retaliates with a punch. Jim beats Michael to the ground. Jim glowers wildly at his parents. Then he notices Dean smirking at him from a distance. Jim turns away and goes back inside the house. His parents follow, and Leon's gang disperses. Dean flicks his cigarette over his shoulder and heads back into his own house. Jim perches on the edge of his bed, his expression one of deep anguish. He sits stock still, staring ahead. His face begins to twitch slightly. Then he reaches for the light switch. Jim sits in the headmaster's office. Underwater visions float before his eyes.
You've done it, son. I'm putting you forward for the Nationals. I want you taking this seriously. Training every day. Eating appropriately. You know, I realized I was in school with your old man. He was the complete opposite to you, though, you know. Kept his head down and that was it. Bloody hell. He was bullied, mind. By me, mostly.
Maybe we should send him to see someone.
He thinks you prefer his sister.
Okay.
And again, I don't want to make him step in it. But he cheated on the school race. And, when I first met him, he said you had guns, Dad.
I don't.
And he stole a knife from the supermarket.
You caught him stealing cheese once.
That was obviously the start of it.
Thank you.
What Jim is, Em, is a pathological liar. I've seen this before. And it is a key sign of psychopathic behavior. Now, no parent ever thinks their child will grow up to be a serial killing rapist or mass murderer, but you gotta be ready for anything. Mom, just think about all the future butchered victims crying out to be saved.
Dean smiles smugly to himself. Later, Jim confronts Dean on the street.
What are you doing?
Looking after you, you're ill.
No, I'm not. I'm fine. You've made me look crazy.
You're almost there, you just needed a push.
Listen, I'm done, okay? I'm done with it, I want you gone.
I'm not going anywhere, fat face. You're trying to drown a shark.
Oh yeah? Well, you're trying to drown a shark as well. We're both sharks.
Dean lunges and grabs Jim's throat.
Listen to me. Fuck off somewhere and don't come back. Stop being a pussy and just kill yourself already. Bring the curtain down, because it doesn't get any better from here. Do it, or I will.
Tell my parents.
Yeah, because they'll believe some fuck that talks to the wall. Keep your mouth shut or I'll get rid of them first. Got it? Head down, mouth shut. Good talk.
Dean goes off, smiling. Jim and his parents sit opposite the headmaster.
Well, I'm not taking it back. You can. It's humiliating.
The headmaster tosses the silver trophy to the floor. In slow motion, Jim strides along a busy school corridor. Groups of smirking pupils give him a wide berth. Alone now, he walks along the viaduct, glancing back over his shoulder. He reaches a country path by the river. He hides behind bushes and spies on Jackie and Leon kissing. He continues along the bridge. A vision of Dean's smirking face appears. Continues into the woods. He stands grim-faced before his den. It has been completely pulled apart and vandalized.
It's a lovely facility, very safe.
But it looks like a good solution to me.
Jim barges into the room.
Does nobody find it weird that this guy just showed up?
Don't be rude.
What's this?
He picks up a brochure.
Me and your mum are worried about you.
What, so you want to send me away?
It's not normal to be acting the way you are.
It's not fucking him. He's crazy, Mummy. Mummy's threatening to kill me.
Jim!
Mummy, you have to believe me. It's not me, Mum, I swear. It's not me. It's him. He's crazy. He said he'd kill me if I do anything. He said he'd kill you guys. It's not me, I swear, Mum. It's not me.
I'm sorry. I better go.
Dean whispers to Jim's mum.
Stay strong.
Man.
As Dean passes behind Jim's parents, he mimes shooting at their heads and grins. Before leaving, Dean turns and casts Jim a malevolent look. Jim sits on the edge of his bed, elbows on knees, head bowed. He stands before the mirror and stares intently at his reflection. He removes his earrings and swaps the trendy t-shirt for an old one. He then ruffles his slick hairstyle. Later, he watches a scene from The Piper's Revenge.
Hey, it's me. I need to go away for a few days. Stopping this guy could get me the respect I've been waiting for. Look after yourself, okay?
Later, Jim's on the phone.
Hello, is Michael there? It's Jim. Hello?
He starts tearing off scraps of wallpaper.
Hello? Is Michelle there?
Hold on, I'll get her.
Hello?
All right. Look, you need to help me.
What's wrong?
An American sicko has moved in next door. I'm in big trouble. He's made me cool and turned everyone against me, threatening to kill Mom and Dad if I do anything.
Jim, I'm busy.
No, wait. What do I do?
Grow up.
In a distracted daze, Jim stumbles out of his house. He stops and glances towards a side gate connected to Dean's house. He enters Dean's garden and tries the handles to the patio doors. The doors are locked, the blinds are closed, and the curtains are drawn. He notices a brown rat by a wooden shed, the door of which is ajar. He creeps inside the shed, which is full of household junk. He lifts a dust sheet to reveal the old for sale sign underneath. He frowns and sniffs the air. He bends down and starts to rummage under some tarpaulin. He stops in his tracks and spies Dean talking with Jim's parents.
One minute he's your little angel, the next he's chopping fucking heads off. But for now, 3 tickets to the movies.
Great idea.
Very kind.
Thank you.
Fucking A.
Jim remains in hiding. He then notices a black bin liner on the floor. He kneels down, opens it, and stares at the contents. Tears across the viaduct, clutching the black bin liner. Nighttime. He stares fixedly into space. Meanwhile, flames and smoke rise in front of Dean. He lights a joint. Alone in the dilapidated den, Jim throws away his joint, reaches for a blade, and holds it to his wrist. Blood oozes from both wrists as Dean grins in the amber light. Dean's car draws up on an empty street. Dean puts his arm around Jim's mum's shoulders as the father follows behind. Dean and Jim's parents enter the auditorium of the empty cinema.
Oh, not those seats. I fucking hate those seats. Over here. Over here.
He leads them to the far side of the circle. Dean sits in the aisle seat. She sits down next to him.
Much better.
In the forest, Jim sits with his arms outstretched and bandaged at the wrists. Opposite him squats Donald, eating sandwiches. Donald proffers a sandwich, but Jim shakes his head. It's snapped up instead by Donald's dog.
Walked across the viaduct, sizing up the parachute jump. Yeah, copy, Clive.
Jim stares at him warily. Meanwhile, at the cinema, Dean appears agitated.
Hello?
No! Play the fucking movie late!
This is when I meant to give you the speech about what you've done. But I'm not gonna. Fed up with speeches.
Copy that, Clive.
This place is filled with miserable bastards. But let me tell you something. You're different. Don't you let anyone tell you otherwise. Yeah, life may seem shit at the moment, may feel like the whole world's against you. But this is where you decide what kind of person you are. What type of man you become is down to you. And only you.
I'm sure it'll be any minute now. Yeah, okay. She's playing with me. She knows I hate waiting. Sorry I lost my cool. Now, you see, I'm smiling. I'm happy.
The cinema grows dark.
Here we fucking go.
It's a year today since he massacred those innocent children. Authorities are warning people to stay inside. The Piper is said to be mid-20s and look just like one of us.
In the film, a man chases another through enveloping mist. On screen, silhouetted against a concrete wall, an assassin slits another man's throat. Suddenly, Dean becomes aware of the usherette, Beatrice, lurking by his side.
What the fuck do you want?
She bends down and whispers in his ear. Dean frowns and tenses his jaw. Outside, Dean returns to his BMW. Its boot is wide open. He hesitates and scans the street, then approaches the car. He peers into the boot, where Jim's dog, Cliff, lies dead, stretched out on a black bin liner. Dean scans the deserted street once more, then leans in closer. Suddenly, Jim appears and slams the door repeatedly on Dean's crouched form. Jim heaves Dean's body into the boot, closes the door, and climbs into the driver's seat. Jim leans his arm nonchalantly out of the window as he drives. He draws up on a stretch of grass surrounded by trees. He pulls the bin liner from the boot. Dean lies there, his head bludgeoned and bloody. Later, in the pitch of night, lit only by the car headlights, Jim and Dean sit on the riverbank.
I knew this guy in Pennsylvania. He was a real bitch. He made himself a target. Of course, he didn't do anything about it, so they beat the fucking shit out of him. He is a nice guy. One day, the motherfucker just snapped. Killed every single one of them. I respect you for trying. But you're just not good enough. You're not capable. You're a daddy long legs. But it's okay. Because I'm here now.
They lock intense stares. Then a shadow of a smile flits across Jim's face. Dean's body plunges into the water head first and floats, limp and lifeless. An earlier image of Dean and Jim smoking and grinning whilst driving. Next day, a brilliant sun rises over rolling Welsh fields and woods around the small town. Sunlight streams into Jim's bedroom, highlighting the ripped, rough surface on his bedroom wall. That morning, Jim and his parents sit eating breakfast, each avoiding eye contact. Jim slides off his chair, shoulders his bag, and heads outside without looking back. As he walks to the gate, he notices a couple getting out of a small red car parked next door. He pauses in front of the reinstated for sale sign. Later, he passes Donald on the viaduct.
Morning, Jim.
Morning.
Copy, Clive. I could easily jump off here.
Jim smiles. As he continues on his way, he meets Michael coming in the opposite direction.
All right?
Not bad, eh?
Sorry I punched you in the face.
I'm sorry I called you a freak.
Not sorry I kissed Jackie, though.
Me neither. Pretty good, right?
Yeah, pretty good.
Jim hands Michael his Nintendo set.
I thought your mum threw that out.
No, I lied.
What are you doing now, then?
I don't know.
They head off together up the hill. Lunchtime in school, and Jim eats alone. Above him on a classroom wall is displayed artwork on the theme of the Pied Piper. One quotation reads, "An extraordinary thing happened to disturb the peace." Later, boys from Jim's class run cross-country against a blue sky. Jim brings up the rear. He slows to a near stop before picking up the pace again. He maintains a steady, confident pace as he runs along a country lane. He smiles fleetingly at his inner thoughts. written and directed by Craig Roberts, starring Craig Roberts as Jim, Emil Hirsch as Dean, Charlotte Randall as Jackie, Matthew Aubrey as Leon, and Aaron Hughes as the father, Nia Roberts as the mother. Audio description written and read by Eamon Lee at IBF London. Recorded at DSI Studios, London.
Are you Roger? Are you Roger's brother?
No.
We don't like that.
Jim.